Okay, today we'll be talking about pollination and the ecology of pollination. Especially important today will be the relationship that evolved between the pollinator and its plant. Now, from the point of view of the plant, the best kind of pollinator is some sort of creature that is incredibly hungry and in a rush to get food. Meanwhile, the pollinator obviously wants to get as full as possible with as little effort as possible. These drives will help explain the evolution of the pollinator and their plant and the delicate balance in their relationship. For instance, some plant species develop to only allow certain plant or animal species to feed from them, so they end up with a very specific method of pollination. To understand this relationship, we'll be looking at the ecology behind the flower and the plant. Now, starting with flowers, there are several factors to keep in mind when thinking about the cycle of pollination. How long the flowering cycle lasts, for instance, or the number of flowers open simultaneously could be important. Perhaps the time of year when the flowers appear synchronizes with the migration patterns of a type of pollinating animal. Or perhaps a number of flowers in an area will attract a lot of pollinators. Flower shape, color, and smell can also affect what animals will visit. The nectar within is just as important, providing a treat to reinforce behavior. Now, you probably want an example of this in action. Take a look at flowers that attract bats. As you can see here, they're generally cream-colored or green. Now, usually flowers with bright color attract pollinators better. So why do these flowers just have boring cream and green colors? Does anyone want to guess? Yes. Mike, go on.
Probably because bats can't see well in the dark, so these flowers bloom at night?
You are right on the money. Yes. Bats have visual acuity close to that of humans, but neither they nor us can really see that well in the dark. The flowers bloom at night, so there's really no advantage in having big colorful blooms. Okay, let's look at another example. There's one type of flower from the Amazon rainforest whose pollination process actually changes throughout the flowering cycle. It actually moderates its own temperature and color, emitting a scent that will attract a certain type of beetle. Interesting, right? So, we've got a happy beetle on its way into a nice warm flower, and what happens? The flower will actually close around the beetle, making sure it becomes drenched in pollen as the insect wiggles around. When the flower finally opens to release the beetle, the petals have changed to red and the temperature cooled. And hey, once the beetle gets out of a red flower, it will try and go to the next hopeful white flower with such a lovely scent and toasty petals. So now you got the whole picture of the process of pollination. Now, aside from keeping the bug warm and happy, the higher temperatures will also enhance the smell of the flower. Like when you cook something. Garlic is a strong smell, but when it's being roasted, the smell will travel across an entire house. Yes, Christina, you got a question?
Yeah, I was wondering, could flowers end up getting in trouble by getting creatures to pay attention to them? I mean, probably not all insects are good to them, right?
Yeah, you're right. Occasionally, flowering plants invite bugs to playhouse as well, with little leaves that make a perfect nest for egg-laying bugs. And these bugs aren't beneficial to them. Honestly, though, the nectar and pollen tend to be the most sought after on the side of the pollinators. Nectar is rich in nutrients and sugars, and pollen is likewise nutritious. The relationship of attraction and interest seems dangerously delicate. So, a species of bee brought in to help pollinate crops could change the entire pollen dispersal system of an Amazonian forest. Human development and agriculture are especially worrying for environmentalists, as human intervention can fracture habitats and split a valuable source of pollinators from the flower goals. When a flower can't get pollinated, it can't reseed, or it slowly stops producing flowers altogether. When a native species is on the decline, an invasive one is usually happy to pick up the slack, eating up nutrients and resources and essentially driving out or killing the other plants. Well, thankfully, some research has shown that the pollination cycle may not be able to be broken that easily. It tends not to lead to species extinction anyway. Plant-pollinator relationships may be more adaptable than they look at first sight. To be honest, it's hard to know all the details in a world where so much of what goes on is tiny and hard to observe. The long-term effect of agriculture on pollination patterns and species survival is a research project that is likely eternally ongoing.